Whipper.
G'day team, welcome to the podcast. A beautiful episode, that's how I describe it, because we're celebrating the journey of one man. He's not here right now, so I can show some emotion. I bloody love him. Ryan James Fitzgerald, turning 40 years old and being from the Big Brother house, I suppose we can say he's had one hell of a journey. And what is that journey he's been on, the people he's met and the influences in his life? Geez, had an influence on mine. Good or bad, I don't know at this stage, but we will be reflecting on his journey in the 40 years of Fitzy, so enjoy the podcast. Interesting story. Page 7 of the paper. Nearly a full page on this topic. Honey's been stolen around town. Now, I just thought before I read out, because the Daily Telegraph, now famous for their puns when it comes to headlines, during the song I said to Sarah, try and guess what you think the pun headline would be on behalf of the Daily Telegraph this morning. And we got a drum roll.
Let's see what Sarah's
come up with. Okay, it's to do with honey.
Ooh, behave.
Oh, that's not bad. Can we get a drum roll? Do it with the accent, please.
What accent?
Just do Austin Powers.
Tommy does.
It's not exclusive.
Do it, Tommy.
Ooh, behave.
Whoa.
It was a bit off this morning.
Yeah, sorry.
I've got another one.
Okay, what else do you want to go with?
Okay. Thieves, buzz off.
Oh, that's not bad.
I'd stick with
that's
behave.
That's not bad. Do you want me to go with, all right, here's the reveal of page 7. This is a sticky up.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but they don't actually use a gun in this. No, they just stole it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so not bad.
Doesn't really. Well done, all those involved in trying to work out what the headline would be this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Manuka honey. You guys familiar with Manuka honey?
Yeah, very good
just
for you.
Just unbelievable.
Isn't it? Healing properties or something.
Powerful antibacterial agent in Manuka honey. It's from the Manuka bush in New Zealand. But I didn't know this for honey lovers. They roll it out of Australia too. It comes from the jelly bush. Well, it's the bees that feed on that particular bush. A jar of this stuff sells up for up to $80. And you've got health stores, supermarkets, and beauty salons being raided of Manuka honey.
You know what? This is just another example of that superfood crack.
Oh, crap.
You know when someone just advertises like kale?
Or acai berries.
And everyone jumps on board. Yeah.
What about this guy? This bloke's been busted stealing honey, and here's his technique. He walks in with a mate, they see the Manuka, this guy carries an umbrella, pretends that the umbrella just opens, right, so blocking the vision for the store manager, while his mate stuffs the honey really quickly. It sounds like Pooh Bear. Stuffs the honey into his backpack and bang, they're out the door.
That guy's been caught.
Interesting technique.
What's the issue? Are we short on supply here? Or
it's just too good. And the Asian market has gone bananas. A mate of mine has started selling Manuka honey as a business. He sells a small jar, your sort of standard jar of Manuka honey, and it's the highest grade Manuka known to man.
Mm.
And he sells it for $250 a pop.
Jeez.
What for one jar?
One jar, $250. You'd feel guilty eating it. Be like an expensive bottle of wine where you'd go, I don't want to drink this. I'm ruining it. I'm not celebrating the moment
here. So these bees aren't Australian. You can only get it in New Zealand, did you say? It was from a certain brush.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's the Manuka brush.
Well, that takes the shine off it as well, doesn't it, when it's kiwi bees?
What has your auntie and uncle started doing? Because there's a lot of money in it.
Kwandongs.
Huh?
So it's a fruit. So our family, generation after generation, have grown grapes, oranges, everything on the farm, and they just got sick of growing the same thing.
Bored.
So they started kwandongs.
What's a kwandong?
It's a very sweet, and Haigs use it. You can get chocolate kwandongs at Haigs.
Are they ribbed?
Yeah.
And really high end restaurants buy them, sir.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's very sweet. It's really nice. They use them
pack?
In their dessert.
Do you or?
What do you mean?
How do you buy kwandongs?
He's making condom jokes. Come on. He said if the chocolate's ribbed. He's now asking if they come in 12 packs. Next, it'll be glow in the dark. Could you just show that you're acknowledging his joke and we can move on?
Some kwandongs at my place, we wouldn't have had our second kid.
And we would have laughed if he hadn't dropped six of those jokes in the office before the show. Just horrible.
If you're getting ready for school,
it's going to be a really tough week, Sydney. We spoke about this the other day. Situation, and you got to think quick, Sarah.
Yep.
To become a hero, let's just say that you need to go in and save someone's life. It happened to a guy over in the States. His name is Michael Awkward, 43 years of age. He was walking home from a night out on his street,
yep.
And there was a house on his street that was on fire. he could hear a dog inside barking.
Oh, no.
Right? So he was freaking out. Now, he was running up and down the street, just knocking on everyone's door. I need help. I need help. And for some reason, I think America's spooked a little bit at the moment where people just don't come to their door anymore.
Sure, sure.
So no one would help him. So he actually ran back to his place, got into his car, drove his car out, drove it through the front fence of this place, house is on fire, got through the front fence, ran into the house, screaming, screaming, found the dog, and went out into the middle of the road holding this dog.
Hero.
So he's just standing there, hero. What a legend. Cops rocked up, and there he was standing in the middle of the road. Thing was, he was high on LSD, and the house actually wasn't on fire.
Dumb criminal. Is he a criminal, though? Really? He was doing the right thing.
Before you said LSD, I was so confused at why he went home to get the car just to drive through the front fence and then run into a burning house. You're out the front anyway. Couldn't open the gate.
The cops, they had to have a bit of a chuckle because he was actually standing on the road set with this huge, white, fluffy dog just going, guys, I've done it. I've done it. I've saved the dog.
Back, it's hot in there.
Where were the owners?
The owners were asleep, so they were freaking out. They had this guy screaming in their house, going, get out, fire. Get out. He's grabbed the dog, the fucking dog. And then he said to the cops, he goes, I may have stuffed up because I took the LSD and also took some cough medicine at the same time.
Oh,
so I may
have every time.
Yeah,
bloody cough medicine.
Hallucinated a little bit, so not under the big fella. Have you been paying attention? Absolutely adore this show. Monday nights, tonight, after Survivor, make sure you tune in on Channel 10. Great lineup tonight as well. We've got Ed Cavalli, This Man. We've got Celia Piccola, Pete Hellier, and Jane Kennedy. But we always love getting This Man, the best newcomer on radio.
Wow.
Sam
I mean, what a title at the Radio Awards, Sammy. That was huge.
Whipper, thank you very much, Fitzy. I did point out the fact when I did accept the award for best newcomer, I'm 42 years old. No, 42, Whip.
Yeah, that's fine. That doesn't matter, mate. New to the game still. Now, but what was exciting too was when you won best comedy segment and you didn't actually know what it was for.
Well, that sums up little show down in Melbourne, Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. But I would say I'd ask you two veterans of the industry.
Sure, sure.
Now, I'm just new at this, but winning an award at the ACRAs, the Australian Commercial Radio Awards, that guarantees a long career in the industry,
definitely.
Doesn't it?
Definitely. Well, it does for another year, and then you've got to negotiate again, and it means nothing. You know what, Sammy? It's so funny. The ACRAs are so funny. For anyone else out there, there's been so many awards given out to people that have been given the sack like months earlier. Some people don't even have a job in the industry but still win radio awards. And that's the awkward moment when you hear about it, five people going...
It's quite often what you see in the AFL when a coach gets sacked and then then the next round, the club comes out and has a win.
I'd like the idea that as I was being handed the trophy, the person just announced to me, by the way, you've been sacked. I mean, you should just save time and just do it at the same time. That would have been handy. But yeah, that's very, very
cool. Makes sense. Well done, mate.
Sammy, we love having you been paying attention, but we also, we just love this segment we did with you last time where you actually read out a story. And this is a game that Sammy plays. He reads out a story and then we have to work out if it's AFL or NRL because both codes are blaming each other for the state of shocking sport, aren't they?
Well, exactly right, Fitzy. And Whipper, I think I said to you last time that whenever a story breaks in either code, I feel that the fans and supporters of the other code are turning up their noses at the other code. Oh, that would never happen in our everyone thinks that the other code is worse. You're going, whoa, let's go to the back catalogue and just do some fact checking on this. So here's the first one. On an infamous flight to Hawaii... The player involved got hold of the PA system and made this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We are currently cruising at 10,000 metres. I hope you are enjoying the flight because it will be your last. We're going down.
No. No.
NRL or AFL?
NRL. You're going to go NRL? Well, if you're going to go NRL, I'll go the opposite and I'll go AFL, Sammy. What was it?
Fitzy, you are correct. AFL.
Which idiot did that?
In 1985, Robert Groenewegen from the Footscray Football Club at the time was on a flight on an end-of-season trip, and of course they're always they go very smoothly.
Yep, yep.
And he grabbed the mic and said that.
Did
said
he get
that.
Arrested, Sammy, when he got off?
He got a standing ovation as he head off. How times have changed, Fitzy, haven't they? Yeah. You'd get 20 years for that now.
Well, you would.
You'd get life. Never Without, play again.
He was flying Compass as well, which is.
He got a lifetime membership and a slab of beer on the tarmac.
I think it was an Ansett flight.
All right, so you want another one?
Yeah, yep. I love this game. This is awesome.
All right, this one, I'll just have to get the wording right here. Once again, it's a club's end-of-season celebration.
Right.
This person was sacked. I'll give you a little hint. Mm-hmm. He was a coach and he was sacked after being punched by one of his players during the club's end-of-season celebrations at a hotel. The now infamous incident in which his karate-inspired horseplay with his player after an 8-hour drinking session prompted his player to knock him out.
Awesome. Just awesome.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, no, we get a
By the way, the player's contract was also torn up and the coach was sacked.
Wow.
NRL or AFL?
Well, I'm going to go NRL this time.
All right, I'll flip it. I'll take AFL.
Oh, Fitzy, 2-for-2, NRL.
Wow. Who was that?
That was South Sydney. That was Jason Taylor.
Oh, of course.
Who at the end of season, end of club celebrations got into a bit of I love the word horseplay.
Of course, horseplay and karate.
But then karate inspired as well, Whipper. And I think the crane was involved. The famous Daniel LaRusso, Mr. Miyagi move, yeah, the crane was involved. The player knocked him out. Yeah, that, as a general rule, Fitzy. If you're the coach and you get knocked out by a player at an end-of-season celebration.
Yeah, that's some feedback for you.
Absolutely love getting you on the show. And you can catch Sammy tonight. Have you been paying attention? It's on After Survivor on Channel 10. Always a pleasure, mate.
Thanks, boys.
Hey, can we do a big shout-out to the poor old church group who went on a day tour of the Hunter Valley, went to a few wineries over the weekend, yeah. See? Jeez, that would have been a blast, wouldn't it?
What happened?
Anyway, their bus driver was pulled over and got arrested, DUI.
How am I going to get through this day?
Can I just say, if you're a church group, do you really need to hire a bus?
Oh, hang on. If you're a bus driver, can you just hold off for the day for your 8-hour shift?
Good point.
That's
good
fair
point.
As well. But you would think, church group, just hire a bus. One of you can drive it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they just go to a water park if they're really, because the whole water to wine situation, they don't need to.
They're not drinking cold water.
They just save all the money.
No, I don't think they can turn it into.
Hey guys, put your hands together. We've got a special guest on the bus today. Jesus.
Jesus. All right. We're off to
As
wet
if they
wild.
Wouldn't have noticed either. Oh, thanks for pointing that out. Mm-hmm.
He's going to turn this wave pool
sorry,
into beer.
Sorry guys, it's Jesus. I'm from Mexico.
Damn. It's the most confusing wine tour I've ever been on.
Did you boys see some conspiracy theorists are claiming that they've found footage of Bigfoot in the forest in Indonesia overnight? They've captured this creature. They reckon it's Bigfoot. Case closed. Rubbish. This is like the Loch Ness Monster.
Sarah,
come on, guys.
There is a whole show on Foxtel about hunting the Bigfoot.
Come on, Whips. They're bears.
They're not bears. God. Oh, you know what? The stand-up bear. Are you guys familiar with that guy? Oh. This is the bear in the States, and he walks on 2 feet, and he's famous
Don't
in one of the national...
Don't they all walk on 2 feet?
No, they're on 4 most of the time. But this bear actually walks around like a human in a bear suit.
Yeah.
Anyway, someone shot him. A hunter got him.
Oh, no.
Don't do that to the stand-up bear.
You're totally the guy that falls for this.
I love this stuff.
There's
a romance in it, Sam.
He stuffed up, though. He tried to get onto a bus that was a church group.
The driver was too drunk to stop and let him on.
Someone had spiked his honeypot. 13-24-10. Love to kick this one off. Tourist attractions gone wrong. You must have seen the footage over the weekend of the shark getting into the shark cage.
Amazing.
Who built your shark cage? You reckon there's a phone call to the engineering mob who was helping out on this tourist attraction? So the footage is a guy's in the shark cage, right? Mm. You see the cage submerged in the water. The shark comes towards the cage, nuzzles its nose between the bars, and then just breaks into the cage. So for a good 20 seconds, there's the man and the shark in the cage before the shark makes its way out of the top of the cage.
No.
Oh, it's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
The odds of it happening are very, very slim, mate. And the guy was fine, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I think it was all part of the experience.
Really? Oh, yeah. So he bought the premium package where you get a viral video thrown in as well.
Just to prove that it's fine. We've sent that church group over just to test it again.
They're actually dressed up in a shark suit, which is a strange twist on it.
Mark from Cronulla, we're talking about tourist attractions that go wrong. What happened to you?
Hey, guys. I was over in the Middle East visiting a pretty famous mosque, and I was busting to go to the bathroom, and I saw this door that had a sign with, like, you know, the male symbol that they have on all the toilets?
Yep.
And it said the word ablutions under it. I thought, geez, that's a bit of a weird word for the bathroom. But I went in anyway. There were a lot of these low, sort of knee-high sinks. And so I did my business and then, you know, turned the tap on to sort of rinse it out, walked out, and then this bell rang and all these men started walking in. And later when I was on the tour, I said, you know, what happens when all these guys walk into this ablution room? They said, oh, that's where they go to cleanse themselves before prayer. So they wash their face, wash their hands.
And you're just there filling up the trough, were you, Mark? Just undone the fly in the old mosque and... Just shooting the breeze, mate.
Were you?
Pretty much.
Well, so Aussie.
You had to cleanse yourself as well. You had to deep cleanse yourself, I suppose.
Exactly right.
I'm just so glad you didn't have to go for another one.
No, no. Imagine if you'd reversed up to it, Mark, and then they'd come in for a bit of further cleansing. Lights, camera, humanity. Sarah, what is going on with Donald Trump?
So he's had a crack at the guys from Saturday Night Live. He's not happy with their portrayal of him over the weekend. He tweeted, "Time to retire the boring and unfunny show. Alec Baldwin's portrayal stinks."
Oh, yeah.
I actually watched the skit.
Was it funny?
From debate number two that they did on SNL, and I thought it was very funny.
Oh, was it?
And the woman that plays Hillary Clinton is just brilliant.
Spot on, yeah, right. Isn't she?
So good.
Well, the thing is, it's not a good time for Donald Trump. Obviously, we know this anyway. But overnight, some audio has been re-released. So it's an interview that Donald did with Howard Stern a few years ago, and it drags Lindsay Lohan into all this stuff. And obviously, Donald's being criticised for the way he speaks about women. In this interview, which was from 2004, Howard Stern talks about the party girl, and Trump says, you know, you have. I like freckles. I've seen a close-up of her chest and there's a lot of freckles. Stern then says to Trump, could you imagine having sex with her? And at the time, Lindsay was only 18. This is Trump's response.
She's probably deeply troubled and therefore great in bed.
Really the best thing to say about
him
a
up,
teenager.
Son. Just step down, go
Which
back
is
to
also
building towers.
Weird because Lindsay Lohan is his political advisor as well, and not many people know that.
You
very
would think
strange.
That's the caliber of his stuff. Yeah.
What weird detail to go into.
Isn't it?
Freckles, and I've seen a close up of her chest.
Yeah.
Oh, what a creep.
He is an absolute creep.
It's not a line that I'd be using the campaign.
I find shoulders sexy.
Do you?
Sorry, that was a quote of Fitzy's. It was in a magazine one time.
What's that got to do with that?
On a poster,
You're
stepping
so
out
weird.
Of the shower. I find shoulders sexy.
Guys, Robbie Williams has come out and said he's revealed basically all the things he's had to go through to combat his partying ways and the good years, you know, where he's been into the drugs and alcohol. So he's had Botox, he's had fillers, he's had laser treatment, but he's also had a chin reconstruction.
What?
Yeah, apparently they've moved his chin back so it doesn't stick out as much.
Oh, that's what Whipper needs.
I don't need that. I need three of them removed from underneath the main
one. Well, that's lipo.
No. You need to bring your chin back so it molds into one.
No, I don't want one. I don't want one goose neck looking. I want one like that stands out. So the bulging ones behind it, they get rid of them.
No, you need to combine all four into one. That's all you need to do.
Well, let's put together a plan for my chin after 9 o'clock.
I reckon a diet will get you there.
Oh,
good
Sarah,
to see you, Seth.
Call.
Thanks for dropping by today.
Guys, GG,
cool.
You
I like
did.
Food.
Hashtag, what was it? Fat and happy.
Oh, dear. Gigi Hadid has been blasted by fans over the weekend. This is pretty funny. So she is of Palestinian, American and Dutch descent. And she's done this interview and said, when someone comes up to me and tells me I'm Palestinian, we make a connection and it's beautiful. She then goes on to say, my boyfriend is also half Middle Eastern. It's just a connection that you make with people. It's really cool. Fans were pretty quick to point out.
He's British Pakistani, isn't he?
He's British Pakistani.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no.
Very uncomfortable.
I know. First ever date that I went on with BJ, my beautiful wife, I actually said to her, Have you got Asian ancestry?
Mm-hmm.
Have you got a little bit of Asian in you?
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, none at all, which was actually quite awkward.
She doesn't... What gave you that
impression? I thought she may have had a bit of Malaysian in
there. No, she does, and she told me she gets it quite a bit with her eyes.
Oh, I would never have picked that with
BJ. No, and her sister does as well, Tracy. Yeah, so, but yeah, that's one thing that you probably shouldn't allude to or you try to bring up, have a crack at it when you're on your first date.
Just especially get it right. If you're not certain. It's not really something you throw into an interview.
No.
More on Zayn, though, the Little Mix girls. Now, this single has been getting a lot of attention. Their brand new song is out. We're going to play it in just a few seconds. It's called Shout Out to My Ex, but Little Mix, if you listen to the very first verse, it's Perry Edwards, who was engaged to Zayn. She's clearly having a crack at him. The whole song is having a bit of a crack, but this first bit is very, very obviously a crack at him, and the girls have come out and said that he didn't deserve a warning, even though he is mentioned in the song. Have a listen. We're going to play it for you now. This is Shout Out to My Ex.
Alrighty.
This is a shout out to my ex. Heard he in love with some other chick. Yeah, that hurt me, I'll admit. Forget that, but I'm over it. I hope she getting better sex. Hope she ain't picking it like I did, babe. Took so long, you said call it quits. Forget that, boy, I'm over it.
60 Minutes last night, Michael Clark. Great to see Michael Clark sitting down with Kylie and, you know, some hard-hitting questions from Alison Langdon too. Geez, a strong mind, isn't he? He has, I mean, his ability for what he would do on the field to the crap that was going on off the field and, you know, his captaincy brought into question constantly. He's a pretty strong head. And interesting to see too, back at his old house where they showed where he grew up. And he was talking about being called a dickhead. And how, you know, he had a Ferrari poster as a kid and he wanted that, and that sort of explained why he grew up and was so flashy, and that's, I suppose, why he's been picked on a lot. Couple of interesting points. One, when he was questioned about whether his teammates liked him, here's what he had to say.
I don't think I can answer that. I know they respected me as their captain. I know they believed in the calls I made, and they knew that I would put that team in front of any personal relationship.
Yeah, respect as a captain.
See, the thing is, right, when you become the Australian captain, when you are given that label, all right, you have a huge responsibility. And over the years, you look throughout history and you look at Alan Border, you look at Ricky Ponting, you look at Steve Waugh, these are Aussie blokes.
Mm-hmm.
They love to get the boys together and socialise and have the beers, and it was always in the change rooms and you celebrated. So when you're a young kid and you make the Australia team, that's what you look forward to.
Mm.
That camaraderie, and you've got a leader there in front of you that's doing that. Pup didn't do that. He was different. He didn't like to do that. He didn't like to drink too much. You know, he was professional. So there was a lot of guys in the team that were taken back by that.
Going,
well, this is not what it's supposed to be all about. And I can understand that, but I think he handled himself really well on the 60 Minutes
interview last night.
I mean,
the other big point that was discussed, and, you know, it was emotional talking about Philip Hughes. And even back then at the time, even if you weren't into cricket, it was fantastic to see the way he led there for what was an unbelievably tough time in his life. The other one, of course, was Lara Bingle, mate. Comes up all the time, doesn't it, Lara? And
it was a bit weird when his wife was actually sitting next to him, pup. And, you know, that was brought up.
Well, surely she's used to it by now.
I know.
I mean, if ever a relationship followed you round for life, it's that one.
What about the story about when he had to jump in his mate's boot of the car
just to leave
his place at Bondi because the paparazzi were out the front? He said it was illegal. But, yeah, he goes, it got to a point where I didn't want them to follow me, so he just jumped into the boot of his mate's car.
Here was the other fascinating thing, because there'd been so many stories and rumours about what happened to the $200,000 engagement ring and being flushed down the toilet, because at the time there were so many stories about plumbers being called to the house. Then there were people scouting the streets around where he lived with a metal detector, just hoping maybe they would find the ring worth
$200,000. Was it worth $200,000?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway.
$200,000.
Massive. I mean, he was making a lot of money, hence the fast cars and lifestyle. Here's what he had to say about flushing the ring down the toilet.
I'd like to say I'm a very silly man, but I'm not that silly. I'm not throwing any diamond ring down a toilet. Complete, made up, 100%.
So
Hang on. The story was that she threw it down the toilet, so technically not lying.
That's what I wanted Alison Langdon to say. Did anyone throw a ring down the toilet?
Yeah, see, that would have been a question.
I thought it did end up
there
in the toilet.
There were shots. The paparazzi had shots of the plumbers out the front of the house. That's how that started.
Yeah, but how do you know that they were there? How do you know they were there looking for a for an engagement ring.
Do you call a plumber these days?
Well, they may have just clogged up the toilet. Lara may have had a big night. And...
Again, that just doesn't happen anymore.
What toilet's so never clogged anymore, Sarah?
It's pretty convenient timing that everything goes to hell in a handbasket.
Next door, helping some bloke's drainage system. On. You don't know what the plumber was doing at the
plumbing
house.
Is the most lucrative trade, and they're so busy, Sarah. There's stuff getting...
All sorts of pipe problems in Bondi, Sarah. You never know what's going on there.
I believe it entirely. That ring went south.
You know what
I reckon?
Do
you reckon it's out in the ocean in Bondi?
I reckon they got it out. I reckon it would have got... Wouldn't it get stuck?
Mm. In the S-Bend?
Yeah.
It could. 13-24-10, here's what I'd like to ask. Where did an engagement ring end up? Where did the ring end up in an argument? Because that's your first thing that you throw across the room. Was it on a holiday and it got thrown into water?
Yeah.
Where exactly did that ring end up when it all turned sour?
Yeah.
Was it on eBay? Was it thrown? Please, get involved.
Did you make out you threw it, but then you just pocketed it yourself? They're the stories I want to hear.
Did anyone actually...
Did you have a... Because I would have a fake ring and I go, well, yeah, see this? Yep. It's gone into the ocean when you've got the real one in your pocket straight to cashies.
You know what? And there's a prize if anyone has a story about a ring actually going down the toilet. Tanya from St. Ives, where did the ring end up in an argument?
I found my wedding ring from my ex. My ring, and I chucked it out the window, but it landed on the downstairs roof, so I had to walk past it every single day.
Oh, and have a look at it. And it was just glistening in the sun, Tanya.
Just glistening in the sun, and I couldn't get it because it was on top of the roof.
But you left it there.
Yeah, I couldn't get it. It was there until I moved out of the place.
How much was it worth, Tan? Give us a bit of a rough estimate.
I think it was worth like $100.
Well,
it was really cheap.
Okay.
She was horrible.
And is that the reason you broke up with him, Tanya?
Yeah, that's a few other things, I think.
Yeah, because it's a great symbol during the argument. You can almost hear the music starting, can you? And then you take it off your finger and you just yell out, it's over, and throw it and storm out of the room.
So actually, back onto Gary.
Mm.
He's in a really good spot, isn't he? Because you would like to... You've got an old ring that's been passed down from generation to generation, haven't you?
Yes.
So you've already got an engagement ring that you would like to just update, haven't you?
No, that one was new.
That's not an heirloom.
Right.
I have a different ring that's from my grandma. But no, that was new.
But would you still like to use that one and maybe change it so then Gary doesn't have to spend too much money?
Please, Gary.
No,
I don't think so. I think I'd be good for a new one.
So let's say, what do they say? What's the rule with engagement rings? Tommy, do you know, remember what it is?
What
it's got a 10% of your pay?
Yeah, it used to be.
3 months salary.
The most common amount spent on rings in Sydney is either 3 grand, 5 grand, or 10 grand.
What's Gary's occupation?
He's a lawyer.
Oh, he's done. No. God, he's gone. Gary, 3 months hard labour.
So what are we talking here? What is he looking at, sir? 50 grand?
150 grand.
I would never be that ridiculous. You can spend money on much more worthwhile things than jewellery.
Just give us a figure. How much does he have to spend?
I'm not doing that because he might be in the car listening. It's very awkward because he drives to work now.
Has he seen the ex's engagement ring?
Well, I have it on, so maybe.
Oh, so he said it's a big diamond. Oh, Gary. Well, you're in all sorts, mate. So he's going to need to up that. It needs to be bigger than what you've already got on your
finger.
It's
not a competition.
This is a huge issue for Gary.
He was thinking about a holiday, maybe buying a house. That's gone out the door now.
Done and dusted, yeah. Gary.
He'll be paying off this ring for the next 10 years.
No wonder he's got a gambling
Guilty.
Problem.
All right, you two, get it all off your chest.
Oh, wow.
I want to thank everyone as well for my birthday wishes yesterday.
Yeah.
40 years of age. Yeah, where is Stevie? Can I know Stevie Wonder with the screaming goat, mate? It's our favourite.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. It's his birthday. Get him what he wants. Mate, it was a great group message getting around yesterday, celebrating you and a few photos flying around.
Had you vomited on yourself?
Look. The reply was as well, guys, I'm 40 now. I don't find those immature jokes funny anymore.
No, it wasn't a joke. It was a photo of you and what has happened to your shirt.
Do you know what happened, sir? We were out for dinner. He'd had an espresso martini towards the end of the night, spilt half of it down his shirt, then got a bottle of water to try and clean his shirt.
It looks like he's
been in a wet T-shirt competition. We'll get that up on the
Instagram page. Thanks to Bucky too, Andrew Buckland as well from news.com.au, putting up some embarrassing photos as well. That was up Bucky today as well. Can I just say as well, one thing I did realise, I am getting old now and it's turned 40 yesterday, but do you know what I did realise, mate? When your kids get older, that your birthday entitlements go out the door when your kids get older.
Oh, no.
Because you know how yours is, you go to KFC every year and you just eat whatever you want.
Non-stop.
For your birthday, you're allowed to do what you want to do.
Give me a bucket.
So yesterday, BJ was like, it's your day. What do you want to do? So I wanted to go to my favourite cafe for breakfast. That ended up not happening because Huey wanted to go to his favourite place to get his favourite chocolate milkshake. Yeah. So we had to go to Huey's favourite place.
Okay. Whose 40th is it?
Then, Sarah, I got the boys over the line. We went down to Boat Harbour in Kurnell so we could drive the four-wheel drive onto the beach.
Yeah.
We set up, right, got down, beautiful day. I get the Sunday telly out, about to read it. Boys spat the dummy because the water was too cold and wanted to go home.
Oh,
so for the next 2-3 hours, I had to beg them, can we please stay for Daddy's birthday?
Yep.
And we ended up going, and then because they spat the dummy and they were revving each other up, I said, no ice cream. So then I was the worst person in the car because Dad wouldn't get him a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Right? So they spat the dummy again. Then my wife gave me the option, Sarah, what I want for birthday dinner, went for the mandatory Sunday roast, so she got a pork belly. Boys didn't like it.
Okay.
So they ended up eating gumballs.
Okay.
And Lenny, after 20 times, I told him, it's a gumball. Do not swallow it. He swallows three gumballs.
No. Oh, man.
So then we've got problems there. There's tears. Had to take him to bed early. They didn't want to go to bed early because it was Dad's birthday. Then at the end of the day, this is what we do, Sarah, at the end of every weekend. We play this game. What was your favourite part of the weekend?
Oh, I love that game.
Yep. Yeah, sure. Huey said Wet and Wild on Saturday, and Lenny said kindy, and he didn't even go to kindy over the weekend. Mm. And then he said Sienna's birthday. Sienna's birthday's in 2 weeks. Okay, they haven't even had it yet.
Settle down, mate. Settle down.
So it's three people spat the dummy yesterday.
So no one, I mean, when there was a 40-year-old sitting in the sand dunes crying because he just wanted to read the paper. Is that when you realised
you know what? You know how you always say, when you're 40, you say to your family, I don't need anything, I've got everything.
Yeah.
But you do expect them to get you something.
Yeah, did you not get a gift?
No, handmade cards. Boring.
Boring.
I know. How crap are kids drawing?
Just to check in, mate. The old saying, life begins at 40. Man. You wouldn't agree with it?
Yeah. Lenny just...
Not a great launch yesterday. Start.
Lenny just glued a bit of glitter and a couple of paddle pop sticks onto a piece of paper.
Lazy.
Get creative,
mate.
Yeah, do something good. Give me the dinner that
BJ,
I want.
BJ, if you're listening, feed him some more gumballs. To everyone who are currently studying for exams, good luck. English exams, yeah, that's over.
Yeah, that's always toughest one, isn't it? Comprehension.
English?
Yeah, it's tough. Because it's about interpretation.
Well, yeah, you can't really study for
it. Well, then you can't go wrong. If it's interpretation, it's like an opinion.
No, but you can suddenly go wrong.
Yeah. If it's your interpretation, though, you're stuffed. That's the thing.
You've got to be close to what they were aiming for.
Okay. So they've got something in mind, do they?
Yeah.
They're not open to
I do find it incredible, the man that can't spell or read says English is the easiest one.
Well, I'm kind of, you know what? You know where my mind jumped to? Thinking about the other subjects I did. I can't even remember what I did.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I really don't know.
That was the one last night. You said you were going to get a mate on who's a bit of a loose unit. L-O-S-E. A bit of a loose unit. Do you know what I love? When you send an email, a group email, and everyone replies with your stuff ups and writes back
really
and go, God, talking of loose units.
You know what my...
when he used to send them to Georgie and I saying, morning angles. No, that's angels. Yeah.
Can't wait to go on a harbour curse this weekend. That's to cruise champ.
You know the big one? Two, which I do all the time. Definitely and defiantly. I defiantly agree with that. I defiantly think that's the best idea I've ever heard.
It's always this.
Go easy, guys.
It's always this time of the year when you get all the tips on how to study better, and it's your classic ones like get plenty of sleep and drink lots of water.
Boring.
But they've actually just done a survey that explored the relationship between TV shows and intelligence.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
What did you watch, Whip?
Not a lot.
It polled university. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go around the room and I'm going to throw a couple of shows at you.
So you're telling me that if, depending on the shows that I watch, might be the reason for my outcome.
Well, I would have thought play school would have been more advantageous than this. So you should have really scored.
Sarah, what's...
You should at least know the ABCs.
Right. What's Big Ted got to say today?
Here's the first two, guys. Friends or Game of Thrones?
Ooh, Friends.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Friends was the top for results, but there were other shows that also indicated a correlation between good scores and that time of the sofa.
What's wrong with Khaleesi and Dragons?
Friends, overall, according to research, comedy fans are more likely to ace test than drama lovers. Game of Thrones, people who watched Game of Thrones were favourites for people with lower than average results.
Right here, guys. Haven't missed an episode.
It's a show about a dragon. What's not intellectual about that?
It's clever. You got the north, you got the south, the walls.
Top Gear or Breaking Bad?
Top Gear.
No, Breaking Bad.
You'd go Breaking Bad?
I haven't seen it, but I'd choose that.
That's in the lower than average results. Oh. Yeah, got Breaking it. Bad. People who watched that didn't do too well in their results, but Top Gear was a big one. Also, well, let's go through the ones that that really did well in their exams. Top Gear, Sherlock, House of Cards, Seinfeld, South Park. South Park
was
in there.
Well, it is quite political, South Park.
And the bad ones were Breaking Bad, Arrested Development, Band of Brothers. Oh, these are all... I mean, these are on your net.
Funny show.
I mean, that's a funny one. That's comedy as well.
So, is your study tips to go and watch these TV shows?
Well, the number one they said, Friends, was for everyone who did really well in their exams and then went on to university, Friends was the number one show to watch while you are studying at home for your exams right now.
Nothing about MacGyver on the list? No. See, that's making a comeback. I used to love MacGyver.
Do you want to see the promo for the new MacGyver?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
It's horrible.
Oh, come on.
MacGyver was amazing.
Anything to do with the country practice? Watched a lot of that.
It's, of course, important to point out that watching Friends instead of studying is a terrible idea.
No.
Like, that is not going to...
Don't binge watch Friends
in order to set yourself up
for your HSC. For a Friends marathon.
Do not do that.
You're done.
Terrible idea.
Do you reckon, like, kids that are in their exams now, 17 years of age, 18 years of age, do you reckon that they would find Friends funny?
Timeless. Absolutely would.
Yeah.
Do you still reckon?
Yeah.
The fashion, not so much, but the comedy, on point. Never gets old.
Yeah.
Spokesperson for reruns of Friends.
Yeah, that was really Matt passionate.
We've got Super Mikado over here.
More passion than I've ever seen. Let's go through this about dead celebrities. Amazing the cash that keeps rolling in once you die. I was thinking about it. How much money would I be making if I was dead? Zero.
Well, let's try it.
we can test it this week.
Let's test it.
No, that's not the idea. I love it when these lists come out too. The highest paid. Let's go straight to number one here because we want to celebrate. He's dead, but last year he made $825 million. The one and only Mr. Michael Jackson. Michael. I'm here, Michael.
No.
How good is this song? No, just
don't play that.
Play,
no.
mate. Like Celine Dion the other day.
No, let's play the one that was just released recently.
What's that?
By McGlove. That's that one.
That is not a Michael Jackson song.
Can we play that one?
What's that?
I thought I had deleted Shimon by my glove.
You know what? Out of the 825 million, there was not one sale of this song. What an insult to an artist, Tom, to do that. Bob McGlove.
You asked him to do it, mate.
That was you that made him do Bob McGlove. I never organised that mess to do Bob McGlove.
Whips, who else is on the list?
Coming in at number two. How good's Man in the Mirror? Charles Schulz, the cartoonist that did the Peanuts
Charlie
cartoon.
Brown.
Yeah, $84 million he made.
You're kidding me.
Just back to Michael Jackson for a minute. Let's remember that he sold the Beatles songs. He had the rights to the Beatles songs, which he purchased in 85 for 47 mil. He sold in 95, he sold half of them to Sony for 115. And then earlier this year, he sold the other half for $750 million.
That's good, isn't it?
Because mind-boggling.
Did Apple buy it? I think Apple bought it. That's what you need. Apple bought the rights.
They?
Yeah.
I thought Sony picked up the other half.
Because then that was the first time that the Beatles had been released on iTunes.
Elvis Presley, still clicking over 27 mil.
It's
is that just tickets at Gracetown or whatever it's called? Graceland?
No. It'd be just selling his royalties. It'd be royalties, mate. Where's Kurt Cobain?
Didn't make it this
Didn't
time.
Make it.
Interesting. He's normally up there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Here's what's fascinating,
Bob Marley?
Too.
Bob Marley
yeah,
makes
there.
Hundreds of millions a year, doesn't he?
What did Bob do? 21 mil.
What about Bowie? Everyone David seems to Bowie. Talk about Bowie.
Ten and a half.
He hasn't been gone a year, though.
Oh, 10.5
yeah,
in a year.
Since he was dead, though. 10.5 Prince, mate. Your idol. 25 mil since he can't.
Jeez, that's amazing.
Probably making more money in his afterlife than beforehand.
Mm.
Einstein made 11.5 mil.
How's
what
that?
What are you doing, mate? There's no more theories rolling out. Is that just his image?
The the royalties that he still gets from E equals MC squared.
Do you reckon?
Quite
every
large.
Time someone yeah. rides
every
it,
time
pay
someone
a
says it in the world, you got to pay a dollar.
Steve McQueen, does he own the rights to the films or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
$9 million he made
doesn't
last
have his
year.
Own pasta sauce, does he? No, that's Paul Newman.
That's Paul Newman. Yeah. He's passed away too. You're talking about the Socceroni sauce.
Yep.
Fantastic sauce. Mm. I don't know if the Socceroni sauce is still being sold.
Are you just going through the rest of the list there, or you don't have an out?
No, I don't even know if we're on air. The mic's on, are they? Elizabeth Taylor. How did she make $8 million?
Don't you think, if Michael Jackson's made all that money, though, is he still in debt? Because well, you know how he was in a bad place financially. Yeah.
And that's why
he?
They're still trying to sell Neverland. Lawyers.
Yeah, flogging off bits of that.
Neverland is still for sale for $100 million.
Oh,
how, what did he get? $825 million? How much does Macaulay Culkin get of that?
Ooh.
Suggesting bad relations, aren't you? I'm staying out of that. I'm here to celebrate the man who made $825 million dead. Not Macaulay
Culkin.
Don't turn the music up. I haven't finished. Don't just resort to the music. Macaulay Culkin never received a payout for the record. Hashtag innocent.
Mm. And now he's at home alone just with nothing to poor bugger.
It's been a very eventful 40 years.
Up in front was Ryan Fitzgerald.
Ryan Fitzgerald.
So, let's recap it.
You're joking me.
Every last bit of it.
It's got no idea, I reckon.
Ryan Fitzgerald, this is your life.
Welcome to the show this morning as we celebrate the highlights in the life of Ryan Fitzy Fitzgerald.
Do we really have to do this?
It was the summer of 1990 and the weather was warm and you were at your year 8 summer camp in a town called Meadows in the Adelaide Hills. The area is famous for its beautiful bushwalks and country style bakery. I can almost smell
the
buns.
I just quick story?
You interrupted the
No, just quickly. I found out that Meadows, the water skiing camp that we went to, was BJ's grandfather's.
Jeez,
isn't that amazing?
That's meant to be.
Things happen in life.
not even written in my intro. And you've just added to it. At the school camp, you'd taken a liking to a very special girl. And at the time you knew, it was right to make the first move. Ooh. Unfortunately, things didn't go quite to plan. Oh. Let's reconnect with your first kiss. It's Kristen Murray. Welcome to This Is Your Life.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, Kristen Murray, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm actually blushing at the moment. When I first went to Orianna High School, the first time I saw Kristen, I went, oh, she's got to be my girlfriend, that girl.
Sure.
And we
sure.
did start. So, wait, how long did we go out for, Kristen?
Only something like 2 days.
Kristen, can you tell us about the moment, where you were and how it happened when he moved in for the first kiss?
Well, I think if you remember rightly, Ryan, we had a bit of a... I think the boys all got together and decided before school camp they were preparing to ask everyone out to get a girlfriend before camp. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I don't know, setting up for the old camp. Anyway, Ryan continued to ask me out and anyway, I thought, oh, why not? He's a good-looking, you know, goofball. Let's go with that.
Good-looking goofball.
Anyway.
Go on.
With your sexy long legs. Anyway, so went off to, obviously, camp, and Ryan had organised these walkie-talkies in the boys' dorms and the girls' dorms. Do you remember that?
This is bringing back memories now. Yeah, I do remember.
So anyway... I think this was the reason behind it, so you could set up for us to obviously have a pash behind one of the cabins,
yeah,
I believe.
Fantastic. Yeah, smooth.
Yeah, so so I think it was all going pretty well until unfortunately I did actually have a suspicion that you had this dirty big cold sore brewing on your lips, so I had to do up.
What a journey.
Kristen, has it been amazing to see this cold sore kid from Wirreanda High, develop over the years? And you would have seen him on TV and thought, that's the guy with the cold sore.
Oh, look, Ryan's just a beautiful man. Honestly, we all loved him. He's just a funny bugger at school. He had this beautiful McLean smile.
Beautiful words.
We get Kristen on every week.
Beautiful words, Kristen.
This is every year for my birthday.
Kristen, thank you so much for coming on This Is Your Life as we celebrate the journey of Ryan Fitzy Fitzgerald. It really is fantastic to have you part of the program.
No worries. Thanks for having me. It's been a good laugh.
Still love you.
Okay.
Oh. Awkward.
Still hanging for that kiss. I haven't got a cold sore. Thanks, Kristen. Thanks. Let's fast forward a few years, and you developed as a footballer with strong potential for a career in the big league. With your lanky frame and big muscles, you found your home at the South Adelaide Football Club playing in the firsts. Do you recognise this voice?
Hello, Fitzy. How are you, big fella?
Oh!
That's right. It's Kenny Applegraff.
Got my first ever coach, Kenny!
Welcome to This Is Your Life, Kenny.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on.
Kenny, can I ask, I mean, there was two sides to him. Obviously, he's been a practical joker all his life. Did that get frustrating in the club rooms when you're trying to focus and plan the game?
No, look, mate, seriously, that's what life's about, breath and fresh air.
Yeah, it's, well said, Kenny.
I mean, jocular, friendly,
yep.
You know, and the thing I like about Fitzy, you know, it's consistent. He's always jovial and he's got a great temper and great character and... are we surprised at what he's done with himself? Yeah. No, not at all.
Just keep reading off the script. We'll go to Kenny. What about when you saw him then grow? And obviously you guys had a couple of good seasons there. He got picked up by the Swannies. And then there was five on debut, which we celebrate every morning for 3 hours on the show. He reminds us every day. Where were you? Were you watching the game to see him kick his five?
Of course. I've been fortunate in my time. I've been coaching for quite a lot of years. I coached at South for 10 years right through their underage as well, and I've had quite a lot going to play AFL, which we're all proud of. But Ryan was no different.
Kenny, thank you for sharing the stories of the younger days of Ryan Fitzy Fitzgerald as a footballer, mate, and thanks for being part of This Is Your Life.
Absolute pleasure. And all the best, Fitzy. It's a credit to you, mate, and where you've been and where you're going. Good luck to you and your family.
Jeez, I love that man. Thanks, Ken. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, presidential debate part two. I think the biggest winner out of this, the second debate, without a doubt, has to be Ken Bone.
His name is Ken Bone.
Kenny Bone.
Yeah, that
what
was payphone.
Song was that
Ken,
for?
Yeah.
Oh, payphone.
Ken Bone.
Fine. His name is Ken Bone.
I didn't have a next line. I didn't do that bit. Anyway, Ken Bone was the guy that got up and asked a question, and he looked like the Bone Collector from Toy Story 2, the evil guy who owned the toy store.
He's a big boy, wasn't he, with the red jumper on. Is that the guy?
Yes. He's become an overnight sensation. He's been on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. There's Ken Bone. You know the Obama posters that were made, you know, with the different colours, the shades.
Yeah, sort of the blue and the
and
black.
And it said
and
Hope.
Red. Yep.
They just had Bone,
right.
And those T-shirts, and a lot of them are being sold. So this guy has got his 15 minutes of fame, sir.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, though, what's happened, he's agreed to go on Reddit, right, which is a website where you ask questions and people get involved, and he said, I'll do a Q&A, a 60-minute Q&A, an hour. You can ask Ken Bone any question that you want. The thing is, though, when he logged on to Reddit, to do the Q&A, what people can do, they can go past and see what he's commented on before.
Other topics he's been involved in.
His 15 minutes of fame has gone downhill because he was commenting ages ago on the Jennifer Lawrence hacked nudes.
Oh, the photos.
That came out. And he said, under his alias, he went on to Reddit and said maybe she should have been more careful with her pics, but the bad guys are still the ones who sought them out and looked at them, by which I mean guys like me. I saw.
His name is Kim.
He said, I saw her butthole and I liked it.
Why would you say
Ken,
that?
You don't want that as a quote because that'll be your next T-shirt that's made up for you, big
then
guy.
Poor Ken has gone into... He's freaked out. He's gone into panic mode going, oh, my God, what else have I got in there? They've done a little bit more investigating. And years ago, he wrote on Reddit, I forged documents to make it look like I had car insurance so I wouldn't get fired from my pizza delivery job.
Oh, Kenny.
During the 2 months it took me to pay to get my real insurance back, my fake cards and documentation fooled three bosses and a cop. So he basically went in there and said he's done all this fraud and he's been busted.
He's like the perfect employee for Trump.
Everything
isn't
was going so well. This guy was also offered a deal the other day worth about $1 million to star in an adult movie.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the right name for it, hasn't he?
Ken Bone. Ken Bone. Different to Ken Done. And this guy weighs, what do you reckon? 130 kilos.
It's just astounding. Politicians, I mean, when you make that decision, sir, okay, that you want to go into the public arena, you really got to think back, what have I done wrong before I do it?
We would be stuffed,
wouldn't
we?
Is it worth it,
I mean,
really?
Imagine if you and I decided to get into politics.
Well, like, anyone could dig up now. But poor Ken Bone, I mean, he only asked one question at a presidential debate, and the poor bugger's been done for tax fraud.
Big Jennifer Lawrence fan. Fitzy and Whipper.